So Satyoga is about reaching the supreme knowledge, breaking through the barrier that separates the conscious mind from the supreme mysterium tremendum, to use the Christian term for the Godhead, and realizing that as the self. And Ramana uses the idea of the screen and the movie, but a more up-to-date analog would be the computer screen, even though we should probably move to the holographic projection of a computer, which we can also think of. But the computer screen contains the light. There's no projection. It emerges from it. And within structure of the artificial intelligence that runs the patterns of pixels and determines what shows up on the screen is a relatively hidden intelligence of a certain kind. And in the same way, behind the pure awareness that is the screen that also produces the light waves that carry the information that produce a world and a flow of time, etc., there is the intelligence that remains potential, that isn't actualized, that is in excess of what is actualized. There's always an excess because God is infinite, meaning moreness, power moreness, all of the potencies of God can at any time produce what will appear to those who are characters in the screen as miracles, as that which could not have been brought about by ordinary causality. Because, in fact, there actually is no ordinary causality. And each individual's subjectivity and their objective experience are correlated, but they're not causally related, right? There's a synchronicity. You know, Jung didn't just find occasional synchronicities. The whole world is a constant synchronicity, synchronized between the subject and the object, which is why what you see is what you get, because what you get is actually what you're looking for, and therefore what you see. And so we have a feedback mechanism that produces correlations but not causalities. It's simply that because of the fractal nature of reality, the inner and the outer are going to be self-similar. And then it's easy to think, oh, my thought, my prayer, my inner work caused the change in my outer reality, in my karma, right? And it can also be that your karma creates a huge change in your inner reality, right? Like a trauma or like some other kind of emotional charge or lightning bolt that transfigures the consciousness and changes one's life, you know, a la Paul on the road to Damascus, you know. So we have the inner and the outer, and there are two forms of knowledge that have been historically, traditionally concerned with the regulation and the understanding, the wisdom, the symbolic capacity to draw forth the hidden implications of what appears on the screen and to be able to modify what appears on the screen by shifting one's vibrational frequency, right? That's one form of knowledge that has led to such disciplines as magic and shamanism is probably the most famous, because the shaman wants to reach a vibrational frequency in which they are receiving information from spirits and from the surrounding entities and entelechies that are able to give information about a sickness or about a situation, a relationship, etc., that needs to be intervened in, or what sort of healing process or depossession of a demonic entity is necessary in a particular case, right? So the shamanic knowledge is concerned with what appears on the screen, but in a subtle way that can only be recognized by moving into a virtual reality that correlates with the actuality. So, and this can produce effects in the screen shift, apparently, the trajectory of karma. But the yogi is actually not interested in that. The yogi is interested in the screen itself and in the intelligence that underlies the entirety of the world process. It's a very different approach. And so the shaman moves into the imaginal realm, which is where a number of different traditions begin by teaching those who are interested in pursuing spiritual development. But it's usually the introductory level, and then the person goes beyond the siddhis that the yogi, shaman. The word shaman originally was shraman, which is the name of a yogic monk. And so it has a long tradition that goes back to ancient India and is one of the original yogic paths. But Jnana yogi, or the sat yogi, to speak now in our current terms, is interested in the transcendence of the level of what appears on the screen or in the program, the virtual reality that can shift that. It's interested in being able to delete the program. It's interested in being able to eliminate in a much more radical way what appears on the screen. And so it can bring the world to an end, because the world is only a thought. And if one is at a high enough level of consciousness, the entire quantum unified field, which is just a great thought, and it's not even a collective thought, even though every node of consciousness within the field is having its own relation to the morphogenic dissemination of the most coherent vibrations that are passing through the field. Nonetheless, the actual intelligence is from a transcendent level that cannot be reached through the use of the mind. All of this is mind, but the yogi transcends the mind. And it's that transcendence that is the source of the bliss and the liberation from being a character in the screen, as well as a consciousness that is in excess of one's own appearance.